This podcast is sponsored by Athletic Greens. Now, I'm sure you've heard of Athletic Greens from a thousand different other podcasts, but the reason why I think this is the case is because it works. I've been using it for years, and the biggest benefits that I've realized is that it gives me more energy. I feel like I'm getting a full and healthy diet. My poops are better, and I'm sorry to say, but it's true. And so if you're somebody who really wants a healthy diet where they're confident they're getting all their micronutrients, go on and head over to drinkag1.com/Farzad. drinkag1.com/Farzad, where you'll get a free vitamin D plus K2 bottle and 5 free travel packs. Thank you so much to Athletic Greens. And now onto the podcast. So we just got a letter from Mark Zuckerberg, who's the head of Facebook, Meta. And Mark Zuckerberg just brought forward a lot of very interesting sort of new information from his side that I think would have been very difficult to get out of him, let's say, in the last 3 to 4 years. And now that we have a much bigger Overton window and we have a much bigger chance for all of us to talk about these things openly, what he just said is pretty significant. And it's starting to put the United States towards a path that is quite positive, in my opinion. So let me go ahead and read this letter. So I'm going to skip the sort of introduction, doesn't really say too much. Let me go ahead into the key points of the letter. In 2021, senior officials from the Biden administration, including the White House, repeatedly pressured our teams for months to censor certain COVID-19 content, including humor and satire, and expressed a lot of frustration with our teams when we didn't agree. Ultimately, it was our decision whether or not to take content down, and we own our decisions, including COVID-19 related changes we made to our enforcement in the wake of this pressure. I believe the government pressure was wrong, and I regret that we were not more outspoken about it. I also think we made some choices that, with the benefit of hindsight and new information, we wouldn't make today. Like I said to our teams at the time, I feel strongly that we should not compromise our content standards due to pressure from any administration in either direction, and we're ready to push back if something like this happens again. In a separate situation, the FBI warned us about the potential Russian disinformation operation about the Biden family in Burisma in the lead-up to the 2020 election. That fall, when we saw a New York Post story reporting on corruption allegations involving then-Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden's family, we sent that story to fact-checkers for review and temporarily demoted it while waiting for a reply. It's since been made clear that the reporting was not Russian disinformation, and in retrospect, we shouldn't have demoted the story. We've changed our policies and processes to make sure this doesn't happen again. For instance, we no longer temporarily demote things in the US while waiting for fact checkers.
All of this, to me, displays a lack of principled positioning on Mark Zuckerberg's part, that he was easy to blow around and manipulate because he doesn't have a strong set of foundational principles to make these decisions on. That said, you know, he's also a relatively young guy. Like, I can give him some amount of a pass for needing to learn up, grow up, mature, understand why some of these principles are so important. But, you know, maybe there is a cost-benefit analysis there in the end. Maybe he just didn't care about supporting that election infrastructure. If it's something that you care about, you think you would continue to do it, even if there is blowback and pushback, that shouldn't matter. But in all of this, it does strike me as very calculated. I think that's something that has been true of Mark for a long time in many areas. I think when I zoom out and look at the letter as a whole, for those of us who are familiar with the Twitter files and what was contained in the Twitter files, it's like, yeah, duh, we knew that. No surprises whatsoever. But I think it is very significant in that we now finally have something like this on record from another social media platform outside of X. And so I think it is easy for a lot of people to make the argument that, oh, those Twitter files, you know, Elon is, you know, biased. It X is just one platform. You know, Twitter was its own thing. And obviously, like, you can't, like, first of all, I don't even believe that what's in the X or the Twitter files happened. And there's no evidence that, even if it did, that it, you know, expanded to other companies. And I don't believe that that makes any sense to hold that position, but there are people that hold that position. And this is a piece of evidence that's pretty hard to deny. And, you know, I don't even know that people authentically hold those positions. I think it's just something that people say because it is something that needs to be said. But for Mark Zuckerberg, of all people, to come out and say this publicly is definitely, like you said, an example of the Overton window just being blown wide open. Like, and to have this emerge at this point in the election, like, I think that other people are now going to accuse Mark Zuckerberg of slanting the election in the other direction, because obviously this paints, like, this, he specifically called out the Biden-Harris administration, of which we have half of that administration running again, or that ticket running again for re-election. So, yeah, my question to you at this point is, what are your high-level takeaways from the content of the letter? And then I have a further question after that.
Yeah, so I largely echo what you said. I think it's really proof. I think your comment around how Zuckerberg, it's like, this is a clear indication of Zuck wasn't standing on a moral high ground when he made the decisions he made. He caved to the government. But I think this is a very clear showing of how leaders act in most cases. I think most leaders in most cases play within the rules that are given to them. And then once there is pressure to bend the rules, if you view that body as an authoritative body, regardless if they're right or wrong, you bend the knee, because you don't want to shake up the thing. You don't want to shake up the thing. You don't want to lose trust in the system, versus what Elon Musk in this case has done with X, which is literally exactly what happened with Meta. But instead of bending the knee, Elon Musk said, screw you, I know what's right, I know the laws, and here are the Twitter files. I'm not going to bend the knee. I'm going to act from a place of, let's say, moral high ground, right? And so I think this is my biggest takeaway. And I don't think this makes Mark a bad person. I think, on the contrary, I think this action proves to me, like, and I listen, Meta, Facebook, Instagram, these platforms have done a lot of bad things, okay? They've sort of created a precedence around making our data free, like our data is now free, right? And which is very valuable for a lot of businesses to sell us stuff using our data that we didn't even know that we're really collecting and that we're leveraging, right? So that's not right. I mean, let's just be very clear, right? That's not right. And that doesn't necessarily... Actually, I don't know. You might be right, though, because it might be calculated. You're 100% right. As I'm going through this, it's like, yeah, it's like, why wouldn't it be calculated? Like, easy. Okay, so is he positioning himself as a Trump supporter now? Is he now like trying to put himself on that side of the aisle? Like, is he following on what he thinks is a clear trend of Silicon Valley companies picking one side of the political aisle versus the other one? Because traditionally speaking, I think a lot of Silicon Valley was very much left-leaning, very liberal, or at least in how they espouse themselves from a morality perspective, I think is my opinion. Like, that's my opinion. It's like they were very much one side of the political spectrum. But now there's like a clear trend, you know, with J.D. Vance becoming the VP pick for Trump. You got Elon supporting Trump. You have, you know, the guys on the All In Pod being very receptive to Trump. You have just this like overall like shift of Silicon Valley going from the left to the right. Is this just Zuck using the right time to start planting the seeds to make people comfortable for whatever reason that this is the direction? It will be acceptable if he decides to make that decision. I don't know. I completely changed my mind as I went through that whole thing, thinking out loud. Because it's like, okay, so you've done all these things. Like, how does this make it any different?
I think it's really hard to say with Mark specifically, because on the one hand, he could finally just be coming into his own and, you know, becoming comfortable enough in his skin to really decide, you know what, all, you know, because remember, this guy's been a CEO of a publicly traded company since he was a baby, essentially. Like, think about all the adults in the room that he was subjected to. Lawyers and lots of government involvement and all this stuff. Like, people that were those authority figures to him. And
the pressure must have been unbelievable. Like, unbelievable. Truly unbelievable.
Well, and you can also just see, like, his, the way that he spoke, the way that he presented himself, like, everything. He was very much just public perception conscious to the point of becoming completely insincere for a long time.
He was a robot.
Yeah. And now, you know, we've seen that has really changed over the past couple of years. Now, the question is, okay, is that change an authentic change, or does he just have a better robot handler who is able to make him seem more palatable to normal people? I honestly don't know what the answer to those questions is. When I think about the variety of possibilities for, you know, what is Mark's motivation for sending this letter? There's a number of possibilities. One of them is that, A, he is authentically remorseful and regretful for their actions, and that, you know, like, I remember what it felt like in 2020. Like, there were a lot of things that you just knew you weren't allowed to say or do. And he couldn't have said this back then, without just having massive cojones, which he did not have. Like, there were not that many people who were willing to speak up and say what was happening and call it straight.
He had every bit of resource to do that. And that's like the shocking thing, right? I mean, this guy is a multi-billionaire. Like, this guy, the amount of power and influence and ability to, like, survive an onslaught that he has at his disposal is unbelievable. And he didn't decide to do it. I just, like, all of this, like, it just, I think as time passes, what Elon did with X becomes more and more impressive. And I think that's my takeaway from this whole thing. It's like, listen, we're very much a pro Elon Musk channel. Like, this is not a secret to anybody. We're critical from time to time, but, like, we are very much, we really enjoy what he does. And, like, as time has passed, it's just so unbelievable that even billionaires don't feel comfortable standing up for what's right.
Now that, you know, we have this benefit of hindsight, you can look and see who were all the people who you would think theoretically should have been able to stand up, and literally none of them did. It's because they were all scared. I think that kind of speaks for itself. The fact that Elon is willing to go so far out on a limb where none of these other CEOs, none of these other rich, powerful people were willing to just say what was obviously true. You know, you really find out who are the critical thinkers in a moment like that. Even if they're not necessarily right, they're at least courageous enough to have the conversations about what we can see with our own two eyes. You know, this is where people like a Sam Harris or a Brett Weinstein or a Jay Bhattacharya, you know, the Dr. Maloney, and, like, all of these people that were willing to stand up, knowing that they were, like, in feeling the continued pressure that they were being canceled actively for these thoughts, for these words, for these conversations. You know, it looks so much more impressive in retrospect because so many of them turned out to be maybe not 100% right, but way more right. You know, if you look and say, of all the things that Anthony Fauci told us over the course of 2020 and 2021, what percentage of them were true at the time that he told them to us? Really, really low percentages.
Yeah, single digits.
And then, like, you can invert that and say, okay, you know, some of these other people, they were way more truthful, way more accurate most of the time. And almost always also recognizing, okay, this is somewhere where I, like, I know this is true. I don't know the if this is true, but I think this is likely. And almost none of them were powerful enough, you know, to withstand the cancellation mob. And people like Mark Zuckerberg's complicity in facilitating the cancel mob is what drove that cost up even higher, even for rich, powerful people. So it's just, you know, it's frustrating in retrospect, but I like the idea that he's not going to cave to those types of pressures in the future. We'll see if he actually is able to carry that out. You know, the other, so I said, you know, one possible motivation for this letter is he's authentically remorseful for his role in what was a terrible set of decisions under incredibly difficult circumstances. Then there's other, so we'll go from there to most cynical take. Most cynical take could be, yeah, he has access to a lot of data about what Americans are planning to do this election, and he knows exactly who's going to win, and he wants to be on the winning side of history. That's also possible. I don't know. So I don't particularly think either of those options are the most likely. I think that the most likely is probably somewhere in the realm of the fact that he has been a supporter of the Democratic Party for a long time. And right now there is bipartisan agreement in the House and the Senate that, you know, who's bad? Those evil tech billionaires. And so if he's been supporting these Democrats and they are not protecting him in the House and the Senate, then what use are they to him? Maybe it's time to make some new friends and at least destroy the bipartisan agreement that Mark Zuckerberg is the bad guy. And so this could just very well be a play to win some brownie points with some people in the House and the Senate so that he can undermine their agreement that he's the bad guy that needs to be taken out at the knees. And, you know, I'll leave it up to each individual to decide which of those scenarios seems most likely. Or, you know, maybe there are other options even in addition to those three that I laid out that you think are more likely or possible. You know, I'm sure I haven't covered all the bases, but yeah, what do you, if you're watching this, leave those ideas in the comments for us. But then for you, Farzad, what do you think? Like, are there other things that I haven't taken into account? And what do you think the most likely motivation is for this letter from Mark?
I mean, I do think there's definitely an angle of, hey, I'm trying to side with the political party or the political people, like the people in politics that will give me a little bit of an easier time moving forward because he's been getting picked on quite a bit, rightfully so for in a lot of cases, to be honest. But I think that's definitely part of the equation. I think that's the same reason why Elon has sided with Trump, is because He like the Democrats were coming after him hard, and he's like, I'm not going to play your game anymore. I'm going over to the Trump side because they're going to have my back. I think the JD Vance VP pick is such a clear sort of like courting of Silicon Valley and like VC funds and all these other sort of like people that drive technology forward. I think the Trump campaign and the Republican Party like are very much like saying, yeah, come here. And I think that's probably part of the miscalculation from the Democratic Party side, is like now you're having some of the most, if not the most powerful people that are building the next generation of the economy of the United States. You have forced them to go to the other side when you had them on your side this whole time. You know, so I think that's definitely part of it. But I think on a human level, and this is where, listen, if people like Zuck and basically everybody else except for Elon are subject to human weaknesses, right? Which is like, hey, standing up for what's right and the right thing to do is very difficult under pressure, right? Then part of me also says those same individuals will also be susceptible to the good sides of humanity, which is doing the right thing, which is upholding morals and virtues and the good things about what makes America awesome, like actually taking those to heart and protecting them and being honest about it. So I think it's definitely a combination. I think it's strategic. I think he can sell it to himself as, but it's rooted for the right reasons. And that in a lot of ways, over time, I think if we look at history, all those things have ended up being negatives if you give it enough time, because that sort of formula is what usually ends up as good but turns out to be evil in the long term if it goes unchecked, because it becomes very difficult to let go of that power and let go of that influence as more and more people come towards your side and more people come towards your cause over time, especially as that individual driving force or the people that are driving that force become either disengaged or just become old and they're not part of that thing anymore, then that thing takes a life of its own and it becomes a bastardized version of that original vision, right? And so I think in a way it's that. I think this is all being done for the right reasons in a lot of respects. But it's also very much strategic. It'd be silly not to. Like, when you're at that position of power and influence, like, you have to be strategic. Like everybody's strategic. Every billionaire that's ever existed, unless you were literally given $1 billion for nothing. Like, if you actually built that, even millionaires, I mean, everybody at that level has to be strategic. They have to learn how to play within the bounds of what has been given to them. And sort of capitalize on the opportunities that are in front of them. So, but it does. I think ultimately what it does. I think it put, for me, like when I read that letter, I actually became really optimistic, to be honest, because it's like, wow. Even Mark Zuckerberg, who was susceptible to clear and obvious abuse of power by the United States government and folded under pressure, even he can recognize the wrong and back up the right things about America and freedom of speech and what it really actually means to uphold those values. And we've gone from one person doing that to now two people doing that. And you know the second what happens when you go from one to two, right? One, you look like a maniac. Two is a crowd. And so now that's when you're going to have more and more people coming to your side, especially of influence. You will no longer be viewed as a kooky crazy person or as a counterforce to good if you start upholding these values. And who wins the most from this? X and Elon Musk. I think this is going to be very good for that brand in the next couple of years as more and more people sort of start becoming proud of this movement, you know? Like, and the difficulty of this whole thing from a political perspective is that this movement right now, if you look at the political spectrum, it's very much trying to be spearheaded by the Republican Party and Trump. And there's still a lot of reservations around that individual. I have those reservations myself. My presidential candidate ended up endorsing him over the weekend. I don't know how to feel about that, right? Because of my preconceived biases against that individual in Trump. But It is clear and obvious that there's one party that's trying to capitalize on that movement and the other party is going the other way. It's going the other way. But now they're like reshuffling policy to try and meet them in the middle, and they just look like followers. They just look like, yeah, I'll just change my policy just to steal voters. Like, okay, so what do you actually believe in?
I guess how does X really benefit from this? As far as, do you think it just, as the leader, more people glom onto it, or
I think the whole free speech moniker.
It wasn't just alt-right Nazi propaganda, correct, this whole time, you mean?
Correct. Yeah, it was. I think there is now additional backing that says, hey, this was actually done for the right reasons, right? Maybe, and like we've discussed before, not executed perfectly, which, because executing free speech is perfectly is impossible because it's a human creation and humans are not perfect. And it's up to you how much tolerance you have for that freedom of, for that execution, right? But I think ultimately it does prove that the reasons why that platform was purchased and the beating the drum on free speech constantly is like, hey, this is why it's important. This thing is really adding a lot of fuel to that fire. And I think is, you know, now the question becomes like, okay, how is this going to propagate through society? Is this actually going to help X grow more users? Is this going to help advertisers get off their ideological silly train where they think that they can't advertise next to bad content by accident 0.001% of the time, which is going to sell you their brand? And are they actually just going to, in earnest, begin spending money with the platform? Because now it's more, this, the public has now understood that the platform is not bad, that it's actually good. It was just ahead of its time, let's say. That it was ahead of where society was going from like a cultural perspective, like a cultural shift perspective, you know? So that might be a naive way of looking at it. But I do think what's interesting about Musk companies is that they're very much windows into the future. If you think about all their other companies, Tesla was a window into the future. SpaceX was a window into the future. Neuralink is a window into the future, and it's already got two people with a chip in their brains, right? So I think from that perspective, there's no reason why X wouldn't be a window into the future. And especially as they bring on the financial services on board, like we talked about before, and they become less dependent on advertising revenue, then that platform's ability to truly maximize that vision is going to be supercharged. That's how I view it. I could be wrong, but it just feels like that's where it's going. You know, like Elon Musk was proven right. That's the way I view it. He was proven right. I don't care what you think about him. I don't care where what you think about him supporting Trump or whatever. He was proven right. So that's got to count for something.
Does this offer a third party point of validation that the woke mind virus is a real thing and it actually caused harm?
Yeah. Yes. Like all those things that Elon has been very uncompromising on, right? There's probably a reason why he's been uncompromising. Like, short of you thinking as an individual that he has lost it, like he is Howard Hughes-ing all over the place, right? And he's like just deteriorating into this psycho person. That level of confidence and commitment to visions that are large in scope, that are counter to the societal trend. If that person's beating the drum on that thing over and over again, and then each time he does that thing, he ends up being right again and again and again and again. Okay, there is probably something there. And I wonder if more people, like if I use myself as an example with the EV thing, right? You as well, right? We were early on that train, right? Some of us watching this were very early on this train. And for how long was that entire movement completely ridiculed and just be viewed as the silliest thing ever, right? And now you have the freaking Cybertruck as a showcase on the Tucker Carlson network, you know? And you have the Cybertruck as the darling of a lot of right-wing people, you know, that they're proudly showcasing this thing as, look at how American I am, okay? Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me right now? Like, you don't think, like go back to 2017. You really think that would have been a thing when the Model 3 was struggling to ramp? And every single media publication hyper-fueled by short sellers and the disgusting distortion of that story by mainstream media. You're telling me that we would have seen something like this happening 7 years later? No, of course not. Because it's like, because it was impossible to see at the time. But if you think that the overarching premise behind the technology of electric vehicles, specifically a Tesla, is that they are just a better product, bar none, for a huge majority of the population, and they'll win on value for money, like how much value this technology brings to the world and how good it is as a product. If that's going to win, of course it's going to be adopted. And that's exactly what we're seeing. Even through all this garbage that we're sifting through, is like, hey, EV adoption is down. No, people don't want to buy EVs anymore. It's like, you people don't understand how the market works. Like, you people don't understand that the Chinese are dominating the shit out of it. The best-selling car in the world is electric. The interest rates have been much higher in the Western world, specifically in the United States. And the entire car market is destroyed. There is, like, the average days of inventory in the United States is something like 110 at dealerships. It's like almost double the average what it should be, which is 60 days. And Tesla's still selling a bunch of EVs, right? Okay. You know, so my point is that was proven right. Reusable rockets was proven right, right? The psycho thing, there's no way. I remember I was, when was this? This was years ago. One of my friends, I don't really talk to him now, but his dad worked for NASA. I think it was NASA. And he was telling me, and this was like 2017, 2018, like peak hate on Elon time, right? On his businesses. He was telling me, my dad keeps telling me that reusable rockets are a scam. You can't listen to Elon. He's a scam artist. And I'm like, I'm literally watching them coming back. And he's like, it's never going to work. My dad worked for NASA or whatever rocket company. He's never going to work. And now he looks like a fucking idiot because he didn't think. He didn't look at what was happening with his own two eyes. He didn't analyze the situation. And he was incapable of extrapolating into the future, you know? And so I think we've seen something very similar happening with X, where, and especially around the political talk, because we're having a lot of people being really, really upset at the notion that this individual has decided to take, let's say, one political side of the aisle, and he's also being very, very open about freedom of speech and just speaking up, right? And saying the things that he thinks need to be said, right? Long term, if he's right, right, that these things were under attack and it was going to seriously damage the United States' ability to uphold the First Amendment, okay? If he was not correct, he would have looked like an idiot. But if he was correct, he would look like a freaking genius. And that's where we are again. Because Zuckerberg came out and said, yep, totally was happening, you know? And more people are going to come. You know, it's not going to be just this right-wing cookie thing. It's going to be everybody who's been impacted by it is going to come out and say it. They're going to feel more comfortable saying it now. And I think that's going to be a very positive trend for that specific platform. Yeah, just the tide has shifted. I mean, that's really what I'm getting out of this. It's like there's obvious trends happening societally around this freedom of speech thing. And it's not just one side of the political aisle. It's very much pertains to the entire thing.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it's not only a testament to, part of it is his critical thinking ability. But then the other part of it is, you know, do you think that there weren't backroom conversations that were being had among a very close knit group of people about exactly what's going on? Like, Elon has access to information and to people that we just don't have access to normally. And then he says things that kind of sound like they're out of left field sometimes. It's like, hold on a second, that can't be true. And, you know, sometimes it's not, but more often than not, it's right. And almost every time that it's high conviction for Elon, there's really, really something there.
100%. Like, prices are down because of interest rates. You know? Anyway, that's good. I don't want to open that kind of worms in this podcast.